Thank you, Sandrine, so much. Let's just shut our eyes, shall we, a moment. Paul, could I grab that chair? So I don't know, as you worship, do you feel yourself being lifted as we lift his name, as we lift Jesus up? Do you feel yourself, as it were, being lifted into his presence? Lots of the songs are about that. Let's just shut our eyes, shall we, and just let's just picture him. If that's difficult for you, think about what Audrey said. His radiance, his splendor, almost blinding. Jesus, we worship you today. Lord, we come into that holy place, that holy of holies. Lord, we feel our heartbeats race in your presence. As we fall before you, Lord, and as we stand in awe of you, we'll fall to our knees in your presence, Father. Praise you, Jesus. All the saints adore you, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Praise you, Jesus. Cherubim and seraphim. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Amen. 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 So we've sung about this amazing place. We've sung to Jesus. We've worshipped him. We've come into his presence. We've been drawn into the Holy of Holies. We've come into a place that is beyond our understanding, really, and yet we know it's real. A place that's that's not imagined, but you can't prove it's there. That if you belong to Jesus, if you know Jesus is your personal saviour, if you've had experiences of the Holy Spirit and his salvation, and you've been caught up into this place, we sing about these things and we talk about them, and they're deep within us, and we know a truth. I hope you know a truth. If you don't know a truth right now about that, that's okay, that's fine. I hope maybe at the end of today something new would have started to spring into the life within you, and maybe you would also start to think there's more to this, there's truth to this. We've looked at these passages before. I was going to do something very different today, and it's all gone a bit funny, so we're just rolling with where I feel God's saying at the minute. And Lord, that you would open our eyes. Do you need your eyes open? I need my eyes open more and more and more. All the time I need my eyes open, because my eyes tend to focus down onto what I can see and my experience as a human being in this world. And yet, Here we have just declared the praises of this God in heaven and that all creation cries to and worships and lifts up and adores. And we've talked about seraphim and cherubim, whatever they are, you know, angelic beings with wings and different faces and goodness knows what. When you look into the scriptures, these crazy creatures, these crazy created beings created by God for his purpose and for his glory and to declare his praises. And we're called up into this supernatural realm of the unseen world, of kingdoms that are beyond the kingdoms that we know about on this planet, but yet are still very real. So 2 Kings 6:14 says, I'm in control of this, aren't I? Oh, you in control of it. I am. So this is me, is it? That's me, okay. So that's me as well. Okay, great, okay. So 2 Kings 16:14, this is going to go horribly wrong, isn't it? Yeah, take over if I get lost. So one night, the king of Syria sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. This is in the real. This is happening. This is here, a physical army. When the prophet's servant got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. This is the enemy. He goes outside, he sees a vast physical army, and he thinks, we have had it, we are doomed. Alas, my master, what should we do now? He cried out to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for our army is bigger than theirs. Now, he wouldn't have been panicking if he had a whopping great physical army standing behind him. He didn't. His army was not bigger than the enemy army. It wasn't. That's why he was so scared. They were doomed. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes so that he could see horses of fire and chariots of fire everywhere in the mountains. This is an angelic, this is an unseen but very real world. You've taken control. Okay, thank you very much. unseen world, but seen, brought into the reality of his vision. He saw it. Chariots, fire, horses, armies surrounding the hills, all around. And he suddenly realized that the army that was on his side was way, 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 way more superior than any enemy force that was coming against them as a people group. And as the Syrian army advanced upon them, Elisha prayed, Lord, please make them blind. And God blinded this massive army. He conned them, he hoodwinked them. And it's an amazing story because you think that they would have gone and killed them, but they don't. They actually bring them into the city and then bless them and feed them. And it's incredible how God orchestrates that so that when their eyes are opened, they go home and they're thinking, we're never going to attack these guys anymore. They could have killed us and they didn't. They favored us. They are, you know, they are our allies. We will never harm them again. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Incredible stuff. So I want to talk a bit about two kingdoms. Kingdoms that we can see, kingdoms that we can't see. So thanks. Yep, and again, one more. Thanks. So in Colossians it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of all the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought in to the kingdom of the Son or the kingdom of light. There are kingdoms out there, and we belong to kingdoms. Whether we see it or not, we belong to kingdoms. I'm going to flick around, sorry. If I said to you that I saw a widgeon a few days ago, who, just put your hands up if you think, oh great, and know what I'm talking about. A widgeon, okay? How about if I said I saw a pochard? Okay, or a peewit. Are we getting there? Or a tufted duck? Can we nip to those slides? So that is a widgeon. That is a tufted duck. That is a peewit or a green or a plover or a lapwing, same thing. That is a pochard. Thanks. You can thank that now. There's some education for you. I saw all those and many more things very recently. Saw a badger 2 weeks ago. Yeah, first I've ever seen, I think, in the wild. Badger. Kingfishers, little grebes, great crested grebes, tawny owls, barn owls, roe deer, muntjacs, buzzards, kestrels, sparrowhawks. What else? Tree sparrows. They're very rare. Okay, so this, me and Prue saw these just a few days ago, really close to here, in different areas, but really close to here. And some of you won't even know what they were. If some of you, if a widgeon came and bit you on the bum, you wouldn't know what it was, would you? Let's face it. You wouldn't have a clue. Never seen them, never heard of them, but I assure you, they are very real and very close to you. And actually very beautiful, some of them. And so not everything, just because you haven't seen something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you haven't heard of something doesn't mean it's not incredibly real. And we're in a society that would boo-hoo a lot of stuff that we would believe. They would just think it's craziness. And yet, to me, it's like someone saying to me, "Oh, Tim, you're just making up this widgeon thing. Of course that doesn't exist. It's ridiculous. It's just a figment of your imagination." That would be a ludicrous statement to say, just because someone hadn't seen it. Even if I had never seen it, I would know it's true, because other people have. Now, I know we're talking about a different thing, because we're talking about supernatural kingdoms, so we can't prove those things. But we can't see wind. We see the effects of wind. We can't even see black holes, and yet billions of dollars are poured into finding them. Can't see them. They're so super gravitationally pulled, whatever, that light doesn't even come out of them. You can't see them, but you can see what happens to space around them. And so they believe with certainty, in a theory, that there are black holes. So what's the next slide? Thank you. So this is, I don't know if you, can you see that? So this is just demographics of religions. And I find this disturbing, really, in the sense that, as I say, we are the things we believe. If we talk about kingdoms, if we talk about angels, if we talk about demons, if we talk about miracles, if we talk about a man who was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God the Father, it seems like increasingly we are seen as complete nutters. I mean, completely lost our marbles, or just weak-minded, weak-willed people that need a crutch. And yet, only 16% of the world's population are non-religious or agnostic or atheists. 16% of the 7.3, whatever the figure is, billion people on this planet, 16% do not believe in some form of supernatural power or God or something. 16%. So how can the 16% push us around and make us look stupid, when billions of people believe that there is some form of higher power? It's weird, isn't it? We're the largest religious group still. Roughly one third of the world population believes in God, as you know, a Christian. Sorry, about one third. That's a lot of people. What's that? 2.3 billion people on the planet confess that they believe in Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Even the 16%, it's funny, even now there's a new, new thing, in that agnostic, in that non-religious grouping, more and more people are believing in the afterlife. How does that figure? What it is it says that God is a ridiculous notion. You know, we can't believe in a God. We don't want to submit ourselves to some religious order or some faith-based thing, but we are too important to believe that we will die and there'll be nothing left at the end. So we are going to believe that we are eternal. There is something at the end. We will live again in some other form, but it's nothing to do with a God. What a arrogant, me-focused, important thing that is about. But that's increasing. But there are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And they're really real, guys. Angels are real. We've talked about them recently. The demonic is real. We've talked about it recently. The fight between good and evil is not just in our minds. There is a physical fight going on in heavenly places that, is played through minds of people, is about people. The fight is about us and about who controls, who has influence over us in our thinking, in our mindsets. Thanks. Okay. I don't even know if I want to go here yet. I might skip this bit. Quantum mechanics. Let's talk about quantum mechanics just briefly. Quantum mechanics is a study of particles on a microscopic or nanoscopic level. It's really diddy tiny stuff. Okay, and quantum mechanics, quantum physics is the study of that, and it's kind of like mind-blowing. It's actually cutting-edge science. It's incredibly exciting, but it is wacky. It's absolutely wacky. So people hear things and they can just dismiss it as a load of rubbish because it's like these principles, they don't fit into kind of the way we've thought before. They don't fit into the theory of relativity. They don't even fit into the theory of the Big Bang theory. They kind of this weirdness about these quantum physics levels and quantum mechanics levels. It's talking about electrons and protons and neutrons, and is it gluons and mesons and bosons and these tiny particles doing wacky things. So you study a particle, one particle, and it appears in multiple places at once. One particle. How does that happen? Or it's there and then it's there, but it didn't go between. It didn't travel between the two things. It's like, well, that's impossible. Or it spins. So it spins up and it spins down at the same time. It's like me turning left and then me turning right at the same time. It doesn't, and it gets even wackier. That's what the mathematics says. That's what they believe. That's what their kind of theories are being proven to say is true until you look at it. And when you try and measure it, it doesn't. It stops doing that and it spins in one direction only. Why? How does it know you're looking at it? It's crazy. Think particles that go through barriers when they shouldn't be able to go through barriers. So we're studying how is it on this side of the barrier, then we see it on this side of the barrier, how did it get through the barrier? Because in our current thinking, or in our old thinking, it can't, but it can. All kinds of stuff. String theory, double slit experiments, superposition principles, quantum entanglement. So particles are linked. If they're linked in a weird way, you can't really understand the linking, but if one spins one way, the other spins the other way. If you change the spin on this, the other one changes over thousands of miles, instantaneously, quicker than the speed of light. What? How? What is going on? So people coming up with theories like string theory, or like many world theories, that basically, it's really complicated, but it's like saying that we exist in multiple dimensions at the same time. At the same time. So we're in different places at the same time, and depending on what we decide, there's many decisions and it can go into many different ways, and it is a bit wacky. So we could say it's all a load of rubbish, but quantum physics, quantum mechanics has had incredible impact on our society. It is where you get silicon chips from it, is where it is the science that has brought in about computers and mobile phones and MRI machines and lasers and LED technology and massive technologies that, you know, even smart fridges or cars nowadays would have their gubbins ruled by quantum mechanics and what science has proved to be true through that kind of thing. What I find staggering is, again, thousands of pounds, money, media attention, you know, incredible excitement over stuff that is so difficult to believe. And it's almost to me, and forgive me if you think this is rubbish, but it's almost, it doesn't prove God, but it's coming into a supernatural realm. It's coming into a natural that is beyond our present understanding. And they're fussing with it to try and see what it's about. It's talking about time possibly going backwards in certain instances. That a decision that you make now, this is too simplistic, but a decision you make now affects something in the past. And you think, oh, no, it's crazy. Until you think, Jesus appeared in a room. You know, he walked on water. He, you know, Philip vanished from this place and appeared in this place without going between the two. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And yet he can talk to you today. You know, open his eyes. There are angels or angelic forces all around, and yet we can't see them in the natural. We don't see them. There is more. There is so much more to science. There is so much more to spiritual things, and we need to be aware of them. Why do we need to be aware of them? Because they have massive impact on our lives. Spiritual realms have huge, incredible impact on every one of us in this room and everyone out there. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light has incredible significance on it, over everyone's life. Jesus in his ministry, if you look through the Gospels, a third of his time was dealing with the demonic. A third of his time was dealing with sickness and disease, healing people, and a third was teaching. He sent his disciples out to do the same, and they did, and they returned to him and say, wow, you know, even demons submit to us. And you know, and so they're dealing with the demonic, they're dealing with this spiritual realm, they're healing people in a spiritual realm in a supernatural way in Jesus' name with his authority from this dynamic that we don't see, not with tablets, with supernatural authority and power. They did that. Jesus goes to heaven, okay, and says to the disciples, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then go out and do these things. So it wasn't just pre the cross, it was post the cross. He commissioned his disciples to go into all the world, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, it was said, delivering people from demons and oppression and that kind of stuff. Post the cross, post the resurrection. So this is now. The Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. There is a kingdom that he is king of, that he says you need to pray it into the reality of the earth now. And there is a kingdom of darkness. Sometimes people think that Satan is in hell and he is bound by hell. That's not true. Satan is not bound to hell. He roams the earth, it says in the scriptures. He can have an audience with God in heaven. Remember in Job, the angels came before God the Father, and also Satan came before God the Father, and God talked to Satan. He is the prince of this world. He is the prince of the air. Paul says, Jesus says, stuff like that. He roams the earth like a roaring lion, looking whom he can devour. It's very, very real stuff, guys. Daniel, can we get to the Daniel bit? It's after the Daniel. There, that one. All right, we know this scripture well. Daniel is seeking God. I've said it recently. Seeking God, he's praying, he's fasting, and for the nation of Israel. And an angel comes to Daniel. Gabriel comes down to Daniel and meets him on the banks of this river. And he says, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven." Let me just branch off. Okay. Right, just hold that there. Paul, the Apostle Paul, has a vision. Okay, so we're skipping to Apostle Paul's vision. He said, "I know a man," or not vision, he said, "I know a man in Christ." He's talking about himself. I won't go into why he's talking figuratively, but he's talking about himself. It's not figurative, but why he's put it in third person. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven." How many heavens are there? Okay, whether it was body in body or out of the body, as in whether it was literal or some kind of vision, I don't know. God knows. "And I know that this man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell." All right, Paul says he was caught up to a third heaven, which is called paradise. All right, what did Jesus say to the thief on the cross next to him? "Today, you will be in paradise with me." So Jesus goes to a place after his death called paradise, it would seem, the third heaven. So Jesus is there. People that die, that are in Christ, their spirits go to this place to be with God. So it would be what we call heaven. What we see is heaven, but it's saying it's the third heaven, all right? The first heaven, it talks about heavens being like a firmament. It's like there could be the sky that we see, that could be regarded as heaven, couldn't it? The heavens declare the glory of the Lord and the work of his, and the skies declare the work of his hands, or the other way around. Oh yeah, there. Skies proclaim the work of his hands. So what we see could be one heaven. Space, as in celestial bodies, stars, that's sometimes seen as a second heaven. So there's a first heaven of what we see, a second heaven could be the stars, and then the third heaven is what Paul's talking about. Yeah? Now, we don't know that. All we know is there must be at least three heavens, because Paul was caught up to the third one. Doesn't say in the Bible what the first one is, doesn't say in the Bible what the second one is, but you wouldn't say a third heaven if there wasn't one or two. There might be more, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. The seven heavens comes from Judaism and stuff. It's not in the Bible. Okay, so there's at least three heavens. So going back to the Daniel, all right? "Your request was heard in heaven," I presume by God. He prayed, his prayers are heard by God. "And I have come," I put the to earth bit, "I, Gabriel, have come in answer to your prayer." So I picture this. Gabriel with God gets God's answer in heaven to Daniel's prayer and is dispatched from heaven to go and give Daniel the answer to his prayer. Yeah? On the way, all right, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. I left him there with the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. What's the next slide? This is skipping down. "Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia and then against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece. But before I do that, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. There is no one to help me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince." Oh my goodness. Oh my word. What is going on? So let me picture this to you. God gives Gabriel the answer to go to Daniel. For 21 days, Gabriel leaves heaven, and between the third heaven and earth, whether it's in the second heaven, I don't know, there is a massive battle going on. So some people believe the second heaven is celestial beings, as in suns, moons, stars. I tend to believe that, and I'm not just saying this on my own, a lot of people would believe this, there is an unseen heaven, which is a spiritual place of demonic power. And then there's God's heaven. Okay, so the spirit of the air, Satan, These principalities and powers, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the unseen worlds, that I believe is the second heaven. If I'm wrong or right, doesn't really matter, because that angel got delayed for 21 days in a fight with the Prince of Persia. What is the Prince of Persia? It is a demonic being of, I would suggest, some high standing that is over the kingdom of Persia, the earthly realm, the kingdom of Persia. That demonic being wants to control and manipulate the kingdom of Persia. I believe there is a demonic spirit over the kingdom of the United Kingdom. I believe there are demonic spirits and principalities and powers over America, over Africa. I believe there's demonic powers over Islam. I believe lesser demonic powers, as in I believe there's a hierarchical system. I believe there are demonic beings that walk on the earth that aren't particularly strong and powerful, but nonetheless, their job is to affect Christians and to do the command of Satan. And I believe there's angelic beings, many angelic beings, and archangels and seraphim and cherubim and incredible beings in the heavenlies that do God's will. There are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Two kingdoms. You cannot read the scriptures and not come to that, not just a conclusion, come to the fact that this is incredibly vital, that we understand it, that we know who we are in God, we know what authority we have in God. I mean, bottom line, that you know what kingdom you belong to, because if you do not belong to the kingdom of light, you do belong by default to the kingdom of darkness. Whether you want to or not is immaterial. Satan has power and dominion and reign. It doesn't call him a king, but he has a kingdom over this earth. God reigns sovereign over all things. Satan is not equal to God. He is not like God. He was created. God was not created. All power and authority belong to Jesus Christ. There is no question over that. But there is still a battle going on until the final judgment, until Revelation plays out, until God says enough's enough and has his will put completely in place. So the cross, you'd think, well, if we're saved by Jesus, and if Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, what's all this about? What are you talking about? Surely there's no fight. We're saved. Do you believe that when you died on the cross, sin was taken care of? Yeah? Do you believe that God forgave your sins on the cross? When you came into repentance and asked for forgiveness from Jesus, do you believe your sins, past, present, and future, are covered by the blood of Jesus? Yes. Absolutely. They are destroyed at the work of the cross. Yeah? Who hasn't sinned since they became a Christian? It's true. It's absolutely true. You are saved, absolutely 100% saved if you have given your life to Jesus, but you are being saved as well, all right? There is an ongoing sozo, deliverance, freedom that grows, and it won't ever stop growing until we're in God's presence, until Jesus has returned, and then it's perfection. But until that day, we've got more to learn, we've got more to overcome, we've got more kingdom of God to pull down to earth in our own lives. It has happened and it is happening. So we are saved and we are being saved. That is the only doorway to salvation. Absolutely no question about that. That is the only doorway to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of light. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to God but through Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. And you can have your whole destiny. Everything can change in an instant when you turn your life into God's hands and you say, Father, take my life. I want to live for you. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. I want to listen to you. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. Forgive me from my wrongdoing. I'm changing my life. I'm going after you. I'm hungering after you. Instant change of complete destiny, change of kingdom from light, from darkness into light. So this kingdom stuff, it is a bit weird, but there are authority structures, there are demonic beings. Ephesians 6, you know, the armor of God passage. Go and read about the armor of God, because that's our clothing. That's how we deal with some of this stuff. Listen to Audrey's preach the other day about overcoming evil and stuff, because she talks about some of this stuff. But it says, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. This is Ephesians 6:12. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil. If we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers, so that's one thing I would imagine, evil rulers, against authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. There is a whole structure, isn't there, to that? And we are on the victory side. We can have dominion over this stuff through Jesus Christ. All authority is in his hands, so we can deal with, as Jesus taught his disciples, we can go and we can heal the sick in his name, and in his name we can cast out demons, and we can see the kingdom of darkness fall, and we can pray and call and expect to see the kingdom of light come on earth as it is in heaven. You are a chosen people, Peter says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God, his kingdom, that you may declare his praises. Sorry, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay, we're done. As I say, I was going to go in a different direction, so I haven't felt that this has hung together very well at all. But what Audrey said I thought was very powerful, because it isn't about looking at darkness, but it isn't about walking around blind either. It's about seeing the Son of Man in white on a cross in redemption for us, walking this life, teaching us what it's all about. And then it's about seeing him glorified in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, in all his splendor, in all his glory. And it's locking eyes on him, and it is saying, you are my source. I attune my ears to you. I attune my vision to you. I want to see and live my life almost from the perspective of a third heaven. I want to see things that you see. So I want to understand spiritual forces and things, because I need to. Because if I don't, I'm going to be completely ineffective in this earth, because I'm going to be fighting flesh and blood, and it's got nothing to do with flesh and blood. I've got to understand this stuff. I need to know who I am in Jesus, because I need to know my authority. How do I do that? I focus on Jesus. I say, Lord, who am I? Show me who I am. What does your word say about who I am? What does your word say about what I can do? What does your word say about how to combat the strategies of the enemy? What does your word say about how to give you glory? So we lock into Jesus. We focus on him. We put our eyes on him. And then we put our armor on, yeah? And it's not just defensive. It's so that as an attacking army, we can take the enemy's ground from him in Jesus' name, in his authority, for his glory, and for the salvation and saving of a world who at this time are bound to a kingdom of darkness and designated to reign forever, not reign, designated to be entrapped forever in that kingdom, forever, for eternity, unless we get our act together, know who we are, and go and save them. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be blind. I talk this stuff and it does sound science fictional, Lord, but it's not. It's supernatural. Lord, the world hungers for science fiction. They crowd around Deep Space Nine and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Marvel and Thor and Greek gods, and then they hunger for Ouija boards and magic and mediums and contacting the dead, and they buy books about people that have come back from the dead medically, and in the millions they're hungry for the supernatural, Lord, and yet they're so deceived by it, and they won't believe in the thing that's staring them in the face, that there is a merciful, almighty, all-powerful, omnipresent, all-loving God, Father, Creator, Savior, Redeemer. Lord, we don't want to fall into the trap of believing nonsense, but we want our eyes to be well opened to truth, even when the truth, Lord, needs spiritual eyes to see it. Lord, give us spiritual eyes, Father. Give us spiritual eyes. May we know what's going on. Lord, even in contact with one another, even in contact with friends, Lord, may we not be dulled into seeing them in a non-spiritual level. May we see them in a spiritual level. May we see them through your eyes. May we know we're not fighting against flesh and blood if there's hassles and problems, but may we be aware that there's other forces at play and that we can call down your kingdom into being in situations, in very real situations, right here, right now. We can call down armies, or certainly you can dispatch armies in the heavenlies to deal with armies in the physical. Lord, you can change nations. See, Lord, you can certainly influence situations in our lives. Lord, may we not be deceived by the enemy. May we know his schemes, know his tactics, know who we are, not focus on him. Focus on you, Father. Focus on your kingdom. Lord, and know who we are as children of the light, as light carriers. Lord, you said you are the light of the world, but then you say that we're the light of the world, Lord. As you shine through us, may we illuminate people. May we chase darkness away from people as your light floods through us, your radiance floods through us in supernatural insight, supernatural wisdom, supernatural acts of healing and deliverance. Lord, that your kingdom might come and that you may be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Thank you.